We begin today's podcast by investigating the history, properties and benefits of the ancient aromatic plant sweet sedge, which amongst other things purifies and revitalizes the brain and the nervous system. Next, we bring you a simple method for revealing the true self of the divine Atman. The technique offers a different perspective about the existential state we are in and helps us to understand that when the mind is ready, the sun of the divine consciousness will shine upon it. We meditate today on centering ourselves in the Supreme Self. Your guide today will be Amaris, Tiger Lily and Valentino.
Hello and welcome to Tantra FM, your guide to sacred love. I'm your host, Amaris. Sweet sedge. Sweet sedge, or Acorus calamus, from the Araceae family. Its other names are calamus, sweet flag, sweet root, sweet rush, sweet cane, gladden, sweet myrtle, myrtle grass, myrtle sedge, cinnamon sedge. The part used is the root. It is found in all European countries except Spain, and becomes more abundant eastward and in southern Russia, northern Asia Minor, and southern Siberia, China, and Japan. It is also found in the northern US, where it appears to be indigenous. Sweet sedge is a vigorous, reed-like, aquatic plant, flourishing in ditches, on the edge of lakes and streams, and in marshy places generally, together with reeds, bulrushes, and burrweed. Its erect, sword-shaped leaves bear considerable resemblance to those of the yellow flag, hence its equally common popular name, sweet flag. All parts of the plant have a peculiar, agreeable fragrance. Formerly, on account of its pleasant odor, it was freely strewn on the floors of churches at festivals, and often in private houses, instead of rushes. The specific name, calamus, is derived from the Greek kalamos, which means a reed. The floors of Norwich Cathedral were, until quite recently, always strewn with calamus at great festivals. Although now common throughout Europe, there is little doubt that sweet flag is a native of eastern countries, being indigenous to the marshes of the mountains of India. It is said to have been introduced into Poland by the Tartars, but not until 1588 is it recorded as abundant in Germany. Calamus was largely grown from time immemorial for its rhizomes in the East, and the Indian rhizomes were imported extensively long after it was common in Europe. The Indian rhizome is said to have a stronger and more agreeable flavor than that obtained in Europe or the United States. If the calamus of the Bible is indeed this plant, Exodus 30:23, Canticles 4:14, and Ezekiel 27:19, are the earliest records of its use. It is cultivated to a small extent in Hungary, Burma, and Ceylon, and is common in gardens in India. Description: sweet sedge is a perennial herb, in habit somewhat resembling the iris, with a long, indefinite, branched, cylindrical rhizome immersed in the mud, usually smaller than that of the iris, about the thickness of a finger and with numerous roots. The erect leaves are yellowish-green, 2 to 3 feet in length, few, all radical sheathing at their bases, which are pink, sword-shaped, narrow, and flat, tapering into a long, acute point, the edges entire but wavy or crimped. The leaves are very much like those of the iris, but may readily be distinguished from these and from all others by the peculiar crimped edges and their aromatic odor when bruised. The scape or flower stem arises from the axils of the outer leaves, which it resembles, but is longer and solid and triangular. From one side, near the middle of its length, projecting upwards at an angle from the stem, it sends out a solid, cylindrical, blunt spike or spadix, tapering at each end, from 2 to 4 inches in length. often somewhat curved and densely crowded with very small greenish-yellow flowers. Each tiny flower contains 6 stamens enclosed in a perianth, with 6 divisions and surrounding a 3-celled oblong ovary with a sessile stigma. The flowers are sweet-scented and so formed that the cross-pollination is ensured. But the plant is not usually fertile in the British Isles as it is in Asia, the proper insects here being absent. The fruit, which does not ripen in Europe, is a mucus-filled berry. When ripe, it falls into the water or on the ground and is thus dispersed. But it makes fruit sparingly and propagates itself mainly by the rapid growth of its spreading rhizome. It is easily distinguished from all other British plants by its peculiar spadix, which appears in June and July, and by the fragrance of its roots, stems, and leaves. In most places, the flowers are not very abundantly produced. It never flowers unless actually growing in the water. Sweet sedge. Part used, rhizomes. Constituents. The properties of calamus are almost entirely due to its volatile oil obtained through steam distillation. The oil is contained in all parts of this plant, though in greatest quantity in the rhizomes, the leaves yielding to distillation about 0.2%, the fresh root 1.5 to 3.5%. The oil is strong and fragrant, its taste warm, bitterish, pungent, and aromatic. Its active principles are taken up by the boiling water. It is a thick, pale, yellow liquid. Little is known of its chemistry, although it may possibly contain pinene, and the chief aromatic constituent is acetaldehyde. The rhizome also contains alkaloidal matter, mainly choline, formerly thought to be a specific alkaloid, calamine. Soft resin, gum, starch, and the bitter glucoside acarin, which is amorphous, semi-fluid, resinous, of neutral reaction, aromatic odor, and bitter aromatic taste. Calamus oil is used in perfumery. An alcoholate is made with 3 kilos to 3.5 kilos of rhizome to 20 liters of 85 proof alcohol. Medicinal action and uses. Calamus was formerly much esteemed as an aromatic stimulant, regenerative, general, and nervous tonic. On account of the volatile oil that is present, it also acts as a carminative, removing the discomfort caused by flatulence, and checking the growth of the bacteria which give rise to it. It is used to increase the appetite and benefit digestion, given as fluid extract, infusion, or tincture. Tincture of calamus obtained by macerating the finely cut rhizome in alcohol for 7 days and then filtering it is used as a stomachache and flavoring agent. The dried root may be chewed to relieve dyspepsia, or an infusion of 1 ounce to 1 pint of boiling water may be taken freely in doses of a cupful. The dried root is also chewed to clear the voice. Calamus has been found useful in ague and low fever, either as infusion or powdered. Its use has been attended with great success where Peruvian bark has failed. It is also beneficial as a mild stimulant in typhoid cases. It is also one of the best herbs for purifying and revitalizing the brain and nervous system, as it stimulates cerebral circulation, increases sensibility, and improves memory. Aphrodisiac recipes. 1. Take the root powder sublingually, 0.25 to 0.5 grams, 4 times a day, every 6 hours. Keep the powder for 15 to 20 minutes and then swallow it with water and natural honey. 2. The North American Indians recommend the following aphrodisiac recipe. 20 grams of root rhizome, 10 grams of black pepper in 250 milliliters of water. Boil slowly for 15 minutes. Leave for another 10 minutes and then filter. Drink 2 to 3 spoons before lovemaking. As boiling is reputed to destroy some of the active principles of this herb, we recommend the macerate. 3. Prepare a calamus syrup of 25 to 100 grams of rhizome powder and 1 kilo of natural honey. 4. Fresh calamus juice. Take fresh roots, clean them carefully, and place them in a juice maker. Take 5 to 10 milliliters daily. 5. Use the rhizomes as spices in cooking. 6. Prepare a macerate. Mix the following herbs: milfoil, 0.5 parts, fennel, 2 parts, mint, 4 parts, chamomile, 2 parts, calamus, 1 part, linden tree flowers, 0.5 parts. Take 1 spoon of the herbal mix and use for 1 cup of mineral or spring water. Drink after meals. 7. Macerate. Prepared from 15 grams of rhizome powder in 200 milliliters of mineral or spring water. Filter and take 3 to 4 spoons a day. 8. Tincture made of 10 grams of rhizome, left to macerate in 100 milliliters of ethylic alcohol for 8 days. Take 10 drops every day. Important note: please respect precisely the dosages given here. Greater dosages cause nausea. The fresh rhizome causes vomiting. Therefore, you may combine it with fresh ginger, 2 parts calamus and 2 parts ginger for 1 cup of water, and 1 teaspoon of honey.
This is Tantra FM, the key to your heart. I'm your host, Valentino. A simple method for revealing your supreme self. Part 1. There are two eyes, the ego and Atman. Atman reveals itself as one's true self to the person who is capable of getting above the I, me and mine, according to the Upanishads. Think of a mirror. The sun reflects in the mirror without having to do anything but remain pure and clear. If we compare the mind with a mirror, we will instantly realize that when the mind is ready, the sun of the divine consciousness will shine in it. The technique we are about to present offers a different perspective about the existential state we are in and allows us to better understand which inner buttons we need to press in order to grow spiritually. Performed with perseverance, this technique gives us access to a state known as detached witness that will make us act and react differently in many of life's situations. Before engaging in this technique, it is important to understand who is it inside of us that wants to change, and what is at the center of our very being. We may be surprised to notice that up until now we did not experience a state of witness in which all our actions are spontaneously analyzed and directed from a spiritual perspective. A number of ephemeral and often contrasting personalities reside inside each of us, with whom we identify in turns. These hypostases, so to speak, of our personality have distinct features. Some are merry, some are satisfied, some are dissatisfied. Some wish to study, others wish to go on a holiday. Some are enthusiastic, and others are reluctant. Therefore, we cannot speak of a coherent personality that synthetically and permanently unifies these aspects. A personality we may associate with our name and with the idea of I. This is the reason for which it is practically impossible for someone to say, "I, John Smith, want to transform." We cannot make such a commitment as we do not have a unique I, but instead we have a number of changing, moving, small I's which depend on innumerable exterior laws and influences. There are eyes that are stronger than others and which may give the impression of being a unique personality. Each of these eyes reaches the surface of our consciousness and takes a temporary hold of us, acting and speaking for us. This is the tragedy of mankind, because these ephemeral eyes determine actions that generate new karmic bonds. The problem is that other of our eyes, not so strong and more dispersed, will not be able to find the best strategy to control our destiny. Thus, our existence may be said to resemble a cluster of sparks. Each spark lasts for a few seconds, and the entire cluster less than a minute. Nonetheless, behind these, the supreme reality is not momentary or ephemeral. The technique you are about to learn will guide you into the intimacy of reality, making you understand in a direct manner that in this existence we have to live without any ego or interference of the ego. However, our balance needs to be dynamic and based on right action. Rigid, stereotypical gestures and inner attitudes will not help us grow spiritually. With complete detachment from all of these, we need to rely entirely on the clarity of our synthetic mind, which may be a unification of multiple transient personalities. As two golden birds sitting on the same tree, the ego and the self, intimate friends, abide within the same body. The first eats sweet and sour fruits from the tree of life, while the latter watches everything with detachment. As long as you think you are the ego, you still exist in the world of sorrows. If you realize you are the self, the master of life, you will be freed from all of these. When you realize you are a source of light, you transcend duality and enter a state of unity.
Hello, and welcome to Tantra FM, the key to your heart. I'm your host, Tiger Lily. Let us perform a meditation on the theme of the centering in the Supreme Self. In order to help our concentration and to create a better resonance with the state or aspect we are meditating upon, we shall use musical support. Sit down on a chair with your spine straight, or assume a meditation pose such as Sukhasana, Vajrasana, or Padmasana. For those of you that are still unfamiliar with these positions, you can learn about them on www.shivashakti.com. Make sure your spine, your neck, and your head are in an upward position and they form a straight line. Relax your entire body. Empty your mind and acquire a strong inner focus. Do not allow anything to disturb your concentration at this point. Start breathing deeply and rhythmically. With each inhalation, imagine that you are bringing peace and harmony into your being. Also, with each exhalation, imagine that you eliminate all tensions, stress, and anything else that might disturb your meditation. Now we are ready to begin. It is time to focus our mind and meditate upon the following aspect of the centering in the Supreme Self. Let us begin. That's all we have time for today. I'm Tiger Lily, wishing you love and light.